Again, my name is Chris Stallings. It's my privilege to be an associate pastor here at Hartsville First Methodist. Pastor Doug is okay. He's just on a vacation break. So I think I'll let him say where he goes if he wants y'all to know. He may be doing something so fun we don't want to know. Well, anyway, we're in, I think, part three of our series on when the Holy Spirit of God shows up. On the first week, we talked about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came into the church as Jesus promised and filled the New Testament church, and they began to do some amazing things they were not capable of before, and they still didn't believe God was doing in and through them. Second week, we learned a bit about the indwelling of God's Spirit in each believer and how that overflows, comes out of us if we'll let it. If we'll let it fill us and then overflow from us into others. And today we're going to learn a bit more kind of the teachings or the understanding of God as three persons, and especially around the Holy Spirit. And so you'll get some doctrine or theology a little bit today. And you get that every week, but some a little bit bigger terms like Trinity. And we're calling the Holy Spirit God's divine ambassador. Divine ambassador. We all been asking about this, right? If you were here last year, you know that I went in for my annual surgery. No, last year I came in here, I think it was my first or second Sunday, I had a shoulder surgery. I couldn't move my shoulder. Well, this year I decided to have my hand done. No, about 3 weeks ago on a Friday night, I believe, or Thursday night, I was changing my wife's car's oil. And I couldn't get the oil filter wrench up in her car thing. And so I was like, I'll use my hand. You know, they're not on there like, you know, you have to use a wrench. And I'm a strong guy, right? So I was twisting about three good tugs on the oil filter. I heard something that sounded just like that. I was like, huh. And then my hand kind of went numb. And I was like, I better not use that one. So I started using my other one. And anyway, I finished the job, but it started hurting and swelling. And it was the night before we were going to go kind of for our mini vacation to Atlanta, to Six Flags with my daughter, Whitewater, and go to a soccer game at Atlanta United. It's like, I don't want to miss that. My wife, guys, listen to your wives. They know it. They'll tell you they know it, and they really do know it. She said, we can stop by the orthopedic clinic, TOC, in Huntsville on the way, and they'll just, you know, they got this walk-in clinic. You can get it taken care of. I was like, you ever done that? And I was like, nah. And for the next 2 days, it was in pain. And then after a week or two, I kept it isolated, started feeling better. Well, last week, I was moving some stuff in the office here at church and unloaded some of the trailers that they used at the yard sale. By Friday night, it was swelling up, and she said, my wife, Farrah, said, you should go to the TOC clinic on Saturday morning. And you know what? I listened. It's amazing. And they x-rayed it, and my hand has been broken for the last 3 weeks. And I was, anyway, so I got a thing. I'm following doctor's orders, so if y'all see me not wearing this, advise me not to, but don't tell my wife. No, you can tell her if you need to. But anyway, so it's feeling better. But one of the things y'all may have experienced, I have experienced in these 3 weeks, I kind of give you my like left hand. I can't shake hands. And as a pastor, that's hard to not be able to do, to not shake hands, because it's a relational business, if you were. You know, like if my hand wasn't able to shake hands forever, I'd probably have to go on disability because I can't do my job, you know? And I stick out my left hand, and some of y'all are pretty good. You're like, okay, you kind of give me a nice handshake. And some of you, maybe not here, but maybe at another place, will still try to shake my left hand with the right hand. And that's just like complicated, and I see some people like, try, you know, they're like, how does this even work to try to get their right hand, you know, and it's just like, so I forego that. I just got to be a smile for the next 3 weeks. But in looking at shaking hands, it made me think, man, that's a vital part of what we do, right? I mean, in our lives, in our business, in our families, we greet each other. So I looked up a little bit about what shaking hands started. And historians, at least what I could find, up to 8th century BC, shaking hands was beginning to start, where people would travel, like a dignitary from one country would go to the next one, and they would extend a hand to show that, look, I'm not holding a knife, like I'm going to stab you with it or something. So they would extend a hand as a kind of way of extending peace. I'm here with good intentions. I'm here to be about peace. Because I guess for a while people were like, yeah, we'll meet your guy, and then, you know, they'll stab him. So anyway, it extended into friendships, and now we use it for all kinds of things. It's a greeting, it's a deal break, a deal maker. We greet our friends, we close business deals on it. And I didn't know this, but if some laws say that when you shake hands, whatever is said up until the hands parting is part of the deal. So like you think you got a deal and you shake hands on it and they say something else, until the hands separate, in some laws, it's still part of the deal until the hands separate. So listen till the end of the handshake to get everything as part of the deal. I learned that some of the countries in Africa have a tradition of handshakes kind of isolate the conversation. So if we're in public and we shake hands and we hold that handshake, it's a one-on-one conversation that says, hey, this is just for us. Until the conversation is over, and then they'll break the handshake, and then other people can come in. We know a handshake is a time of greeting, it's a time of friendship with families, and I love the handshake that has become the celebratory handshake. You guys that are playing sports, you know, we've evolved from the high five to the knucks to the whole, you know, handshaking thing. Robbie Cantrell, who leads our 11 o'clock worship team, his wife had a baby this week, and we went and saw them at the hospital after baby Claire was born. Him and his sons were doing a celebratory handshake and did all this stuff. And I was like, they brought that from sports into celebrating the birth of their little baby sister. I thought that was pretty cool, right? Handshakes are important, but it kind of indicates being on a mission of goodwill, a good friendship kind of thing. And so we're studying the Holy Spirit as our divine ambassador of God. God's kingdom coming to the earth. And God's Holy Spirit is kind of like that goodwill, I'm here to shake your hand kind of aspect of God. And so we're going to look at a passage from John chapter 14. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. John is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you've got a Bible, you can open that. You can also open your phone if you've got a smartphone and look at the Bible app on there. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. Now, this chapter 14 is part of John's record of Jesus' farewell discourse or farewell address, where he's telling his disciples who have kind of journeyed with him up until this point, here's what's coming. Like, I'm about to be gone, right? Adios, but here's what's coming. And so he's given them this instruction, and it follows what we're going to read here, follows the first part of John 14, where Jesus gives the exclusive statement, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one gets to the Father except through me. And Jesus, but then says, hey, I'm going to empower you, at verse 12 and 14, that you're going to do even greater things than what you've seen me do. And so Jesus says in verse 15, where we'll pick up, this is how that's going to happen. Listen to these words out of John 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, Jesus said, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, helper, encourager, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Verse 18, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Verse 22, Judas, now this is not Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed Jesus, but another disciple by that name said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? And Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Verse 25, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So from this passage in John 14, we're going to look at three kind of key areas that I think we can take from this, especially as it relates to God and God's person, the Holy Spirit. The first one is the idea of Trinity. Chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 read, and Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you an advocate who will never leave you, who is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. So in that one verse, we have Father, Son, and Spirit all talking about their relationship. And if you've been in church for long, you know we say God is one, but then we say God is also three persons. And so you may be like many people and like, what is that? God in one and God is three. And so we know that the Father has revealed Himself, evident in creation, evident in His revelation and covenant with Abraham and the law with Moses. And Jesus even prayed to God the Father. And so we have God the Father revealed in that way. We also see God the Son revealed in the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, who was the promised Messiah, 100% man and 100% God. And we see God's Holy Spirit revealed to us, evident in every believer. And we're going to look at a little bit how that evidence is played out in your life. But Father, Son, and Spirit. And some people are like, what? Is that one person or is it three? And yes. And so you're, what is that? And the best analogy I've got is Pastor Mike uses this analogy in our membership class. You may have heard this before, but on a given week, like last week, my mom, who was traveling, she would text and call with some updates. Hey, we've made it to this place, and we're here now. And when people would ask, who are you talking to or who are you sending messages to? She'd say, I'm talking with my son. Well, that same week, whenever I finally went to the doctor's under my wife's orders, I was urgent to get there because it was hurting. And so I led them into the doctor's office, and they were a few steps behind me. And the second nurse asked my wife, ma'am, can I help you? She said, oh, no, I'm just here with my husband. And my daughter, on that same day, as we were driving home from the doctor, said, Dad, can we stop somewhere good to eat for lunch? So in the course of 1 week, people referred to me as both son, husband, and dad. Now, it's not a perfect analogy, and if you take it to its end, it breaks down for sure. I'm not God, right? So it's just an analogy to where God has revealed Himself into three persons in different times, different settings, different places, so that we can have the right understanding of God. And so that's in essence our Trinitarian understanding, the relationship, the connection. Jesus is saying we're all connected. It's not Jesus or God, it's all of us. It's not the Spirit or me, it's all of us. We're one. So that's a bit on the Trinity. The second one is that you're in the family if you love and obey Jesus. You're in the family, you're in that connection with God. If you love and obey Jesus, verse 15 says, if you love me, simply obey my commandments. And then verse 17 says, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him, but you know because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So you're part of God's family if you put your faith in Jesus, and God's Spirit indwells in you. And how do you know if the Spirit's indwelling in you? Do you love Jesus, and do you follow Jesus? Now, it's not like if you love, you'll follow, or if you follow, you love. It's both and. It's both sides of this are love and obey Jesus. If you've been around church long enough, you may have heard people want to fight over this. Is God all love or is God all truth or His commandments? And you may hear some people say, well, God is all love and He would never And you might fill in the blank, right? He would never ask me to give up something I love to do. He would never ask me to, or he would never send someone to hell. And you may hear other people in the church, well-meaning, that are all about the thou shalt nots. Say, let me see your list. Have you done any of those? And they can never get to the thou shall and you will be free. Jesus says relationship with God is both and. Both love and obedience. Anybody got a quarter in here? You know, you don't have to bring it up. You know a quarter, right? Nobody uses money anymore. Everybody swipes for everything. But on a quarter, you know, there's two sides of that. And if you saw that quarter laid in, let's say, a display case, maybe a relic of high valuable one, and it had one side turned up, and you just saw that for the first time, and somebody asked you to describe that, you might describe it as saying, well, I see it's a metal piece with a carved image of the first president, George Washington. Over in another side of the room, they could have a quarter and a display case with just the tail side turned up, and it has whatever they have on them now. And somebody might describe that as being totally different. But what is a quarter? Is it heads or tails? And it's both. It just depends on when and how you're looking at it, but it is both. And so the Christian faith following Jesus is both love and obedience. God loves you exactly where you are. God loves you enough to give Jesus for you so that you don't face what you are facing without Jesus. Eternal separation from God and His love. And He says, I love you. And when I love you and you love me, you will be obedient. Not because I make you, but because that's the evidence of that love. You love Jesus. You want to do what He is asking you to do. So your relationship is both love and obedience, following the commands of the Bible, loving Jesus and loving others as Jesus did. Is Christian love or obedience? Being a Christian is both. And when you have both, you know God's Spirit is dwelling in you. You're in the family when you love and obey. Finally, the Holy Spirit empowers us in truth and in peace. Verse 26, the ending of it says that the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you, Jesus said. Now I'm leaving you with a gift, this peace of mind, and this peace I give you the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. A couple of ways that we experience it. Now there are more ways the Holy Spirit interacts in us, but a big part of that is the truth that the Holy Spirit reveals from Scripture. Jesus says, I've taught you these things. I'm going to leave. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to remind you of those things I've taught you. Not teach you something new, not create a whole new theology, but He's going to remind you of those. Well, how do I get reminded of something? I got to know it. And so it starts, the Holy Spirit's work starts in our understanding of Scripture, and then He'll bring that up to us. For example, you may be in a business deal, and you know that one of the commandments or one of the instructions of Jesus is, you know, don't steal. So the Holy Spirit says, do this deal in an ethical way. And you're like, oh, snap. I was going to, you know, make a lot more money. And the Holy Spirit's like, no. And it draws in that truth from God that says, do it this way. The Holy Spirit gives you power whenever you're struggling with the hurts or habits or hang-ups to where you're dealing with a lust issue. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm going to turn your eyes this way. I'm going to get you away from that. God's Holy Spirit leads you to love others, would it be a lot easier just to keep on driving or keep on going? God's Spirit, y'all felt that? It's like, they need help. I need to be a peace bearer to them. I see that person being bullied. I see that person without a job. More than telling what they ought to do, I need to do what I ought to do in helping them in love. The Holy Spirit guides us, reminds us in the truth of what Jesus taught, and then He brings a peace. Now, not a worldly peace necessarily that's absent of conflict, but a peace, as the founder of Wesleyan movement, John Wesley and Methodist Church said, a warming of our hearts. We know God is with us. a warming of our hearts where we know that God is with us. That in your every circumstance, whatever it may be, the height, the peak of the valley, the championship day, or the low, the rejection letter, the divorce, the death in your family, the diagnosis you've received, God says, I'm with you, and my Holy Spirit is going to be with you. An ambassador of peace, a handshake, one of those fancy high five ones we celebrate whenever it goes good. Our kid just professes faith in Jesus. They just graduate. They move out the second time. You know, whatever your circumstance might be. But they are with us in the hospital whenever the last moments are imminent. And wraps his arms around us. He says, child, I've got you. I've got you here and I've got you in eternity. God's Holy Spirit brings peace, and it allows us to live boldly because of that peace, because we live on the truth and we live in that peace. We don't have to be an either-or kind of church. We can be a both-and kind of church where we can be, have you heard this saying, a hospital for sinners? Do you need that kind of hospital? Do you want to be that kind of hospital for our community? Where we can accept people no matter how bad they've messed up. Not a hospital that says, you did this to yourself, now pay the consequences. But a hospital that says, you've done this, but we love you and look at Jesus. Not a hospital that says, you're hurting and we'll just take all the hurting and never tell you the truth of what it takes to get away from that hurt. But a hospital that brings the truth of, here's how you can live the way God intended for you to live. We can do both. We can tell the truth of the gospel, that there's a law of God, there is sin that separates us from that, that Jesus will save us from that, that God's Holy Spirit will dwell in us. And we can do it in a way that loves people the way Jesus loves people. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you with truth and with peace. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that in this day, in this place, your Spirit is dwelling and in indwelling. That God, we're not just abstractly thinking about you as a triune or trinity, God, but we are feeling your presence here and now. And God, we are asking you, Holy Spirit, to convict us, to teach us, to remind us of your truth, and God, to lead us on boldly to your love for those that are far from you or almost here with you, and even those that are here and sometimes need extra grace required. God, we pray that you would love through us. God, give us your empowerment. Give us your belonging. God, give us right beliefs in Jesus. God, I pray these things in this holy and powerful and resurrected name. Amen.